Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kelly Harrop. I'd like to thank you for calling in, walking in the footsteps of Jesus Ministries. Glad to have you call in. Happy that you'll download this program later. And may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you. Today we're going to be reading in Matthew chapter 5. 43 and 48. Now, the verse we're going to begin with in Matthew, I would say Jesus is going to be asking all believers, as he did here, a very hard decision that we have to make. And the reasoning is that when we're faced with an enemy, we don't want to think kind thoughts about that person, do we? No. We want all things bad to happen to them, don't we? We do. And I would say that is our human pride. Once we are baptized and follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have to have a mind frame in our heart and our mind to think like Jesus did, who thought like the Heavenly Father did. And let's read this verse, and then we'll talk about it. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And we'll stop right over here. Now, when we see this, I can say right on Jesus, until you have an enemy and someone persecuting you, many times you tell the Lord, no, I want my enemy to suffer great boil on their tongue. Tie them up and let's throw dirt in their mouth. And let's have scorpions pierce them. Let's put fire under them. And let's burn them up, Lord. Well, the Lord didn't think like man does. Otherwise, if he did, there'd be no reason for Jesus to die upon the cross, because everything we did that was evil would have been just in his eyes. But our Lord is a just God. Frankly, it wouldn't really be just, would it, though? Because the Lord doesn't think that way. He does not think evil. If he did think evil, we would all be in trouble. But thank the Lord that he is a just Lord. And the fact of it is, when we pray for our enemy, he's talking about praying for them, right? So, why pray for them? Because pray for them, or when we pray for them, they may become a brother or sister in Christ. They may find Christ, Jesus. Think about it. That's a great revenge right there, don't you think? Praying for someone to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? I would think so. That's a great thing to happen right there, if we pray for them to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Right there is something we need to think about and should do. Think about it. There might have been someone praying for the Apostle Paul when he was Saul, when he was going to Damascus. Remember, with Saul, he was going to Damascus to order the arrest of our brothers and sisters in Christ in that area. And he was going to do it too. And before that, he arrested a lot of people and probably had a lot of people put to death. We know that he was there when Stephen died. So, right there, you had many Christians who probably found it hard to accept Paul at that time. And we know that when we read the book of Acts, when Paul became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that there was many who did not trust him and thought he was a spy trying to infiltrate them. Obviously, at that time, the Romans were sending spies to infiltrate our Christian brothers and sisters to find out where they were to arrest them. So they probably thought Paul was doing the same thing, that he was infiltrating them. Through the history of Paul, he suffered a lot for Christ to spread his word around. No one who has infiltrated the Christian faith would never have done that because once they infiltrated the group, find what they were seeking, they would tell the Roman authorities and they would have them all arrested. Paul, as we know, didn't do that. He actually saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. He actually saw him there. And, as we know, he was blinded. And he became a changed man. And when he was baptized by Ananias, what happened? Oh, it was Silas. That, like scales coming off his eyes, he could see again, physically and spiritually. And that's when he became a zealot for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that right there is a great revenge for anyone, because once someone has accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior, they are no longer the person who they once were. They are now a new creature. They are like you now, a new creature saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. They are now a new creature. They're not that person who was persecuting you before. They're not that nasty person who was after you before. And see, for Paul to really get the members of the church's trust, it probably took him a long time, but I think he proved it to them. He didn't have to prove it to Christ, because Christ already knew that he was with them. But his actions about going around the Roman world at that time, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would say that's what got them to realize through his actions that he did change. Now, this does not mean that because Paul's actions, that made him, that his work somehow brought him salvation. No, it wasn't his works that brought him to salvation. It was his faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ that brought him the salvation. And that goes for any other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ when they accept him as their Lord. It is not by their works. Many people can do a lot of works, but if you don't have any faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and trust in him, heaven won't be your home. And that's a tough word to say right there, but that's the truth, because if your heart is not with Christ and you don't believe in him, you're separated from him. Your works cannot get you into heaven. You can even try, say, well, maybe I don't want to follow Jesus. I'll just follow the law that he gave us before he came upon the earth. Well, that's not going to do you any good as well, because if you recall, the law only exposed our sin. When we know the law, we know that committing these sins is not right with God, and it still keeps us separate from God. But Jesus being the last sin offering that wiped away our sins altogether, we became one with through the Holy Spirit because we believed in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and it's through his faith. It's like what Billy Graham said. Billy Graham said that his last words would not be to Christ Jesus. How many places around the world that he preaches? How many times he read the Bible? Only thing he's going to say is, like the man upon the cross said, remember me when you enter your kingdom. Meaning that it wasn't, what Billy Graham meant, it wasn't through his preaching. It wasn't through him reading the Bible so many times that would give him the kingdom of heaven. It's him believing by faith that Christ was his personal Savior. That is getting him into heaven. And if you look at Dr. Graham's ministry, that's what he preached about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is how you're going to get salvation. Any other way is not going to get you salvation. You could try living by the Old Testament laws, but it's not going to bring you salvation. You could go to another religion out there. Another religion may say Buddha, Muhammad, and everything else. But the fact of it is, you have to do a lot of work to try to get to heaven, don't you? But all things by following Jesus Christ is, have faith in him, follow him. That's it. Have faith. Believe he is the Lord, he is the Lord and Savior, and you are saved. That's it. Well, isn't it? The Lord was not going to put more baggage upon our shoulders and more chains around our neck to follow him, to have salvation. He made it easy. He put it on himself as a man named Jesus. He put it upon himself by dying upon the cross. Being that sacrifice saved you and I from eternal punishment. Eternal punishment we brought upon ourselves. Our separation that brought us away from the Lord God. But when we are saved, the Holy Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit begins teaching us how to live according to Christ Jesus. We are no longer selfish people. We are no longer going out there and self-indulging upon alcohol or other kinds of drugs that affect our body out there. We are no longer a bad person anymore because now we have the THT of the Holy Spirit living within us, and we're now living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember, it's all about him. It's not about you and I. It's about him. And as a gracious Savior, he saved us. He saved us from ourselves. Ourselves, who was doing all these selfish things to ourselves and probably to people we know. And so, we're asked to do like tough things. And I mean tough things like forgiving your enemy. An enemy could be even in your own family. But can you forgive them? Yes. Because here Jesus telling us is to do, therefore you shall be perfect, just like the Father in heaven is perfect. So that is our goal when we have this faith in us, when we accept Christ as our Savior. And his grace lives with us through the Holy Spirit. We're living our lives to live a perfect life. We're living according to his will, not our will. So that's how we're living our lives at this present time. We don't live it for ourselves. We live it for him because he knows exactly what we're doing, and we see the good things that can come about when we live for him. Yes, who gets you through it in the end? Christ Jesus does he not now? Because bad times can never last forever. And he'll lead you out of that fire. And he'll do it. Amen. Amen to that. Now, to those out there who may be telling other people, well, I am saved and all this, that, and the other, and still are doing the same thing they've been doing, but I think by telling a Christian or a pastor, or anyone else from the church that they're saved, but yet in their heart they're still doing sneaky stuff and doing things that are not of God, they know who they are. And I said to them, they need to really repent of their sins. Telling me that you're saved and you change now isn't going to get you anywhere, because who you're dealing with is not me, it's not my fellow Christian out there. You're dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know in your heart, if you are getting drunk on purpose, getting high on purpose off of drugs, beating your wife, hurting your wife, or the wife hurting your husband, cheating on your spouse, you know that's not right. You know you're not walking with with God? Think about it. And you're making an enemy out of people who may love you, telling them that you're saved and thinking that you're pulling a fast one, but somehow if you tell a preacher that you're saved and you got baptized in the church and now and you still haven't really accepted Christ in your heart, but you are still a wet sinner. The water has nothing upon you unless you really mean it. You have to really give your heart to Jesus. If your heart's not in it and you're doing it out of a religious experience because you think, well, this will get me respectability, maybe Christians will think I'm saved and yada, 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 but I'm going to still live the life that I want to live. I want to get drunk. I still beat up my wife. I cheat on my wife, et cetera, et cetera. And by doing that, and thinking, well, doesn't matter what I do now. I've been baptized that I'm legally into heaven so I can do what I want. Now remember, you're not bearing any fruit. And if we look at 1 John or even in Jude, according to what they say, that if you live by the flesh and continue doing those acts, you never knew Jesus. Because if you knew Jesus, you would know better. You wouldn't get drunk. You wouldn't go out. You wouldn't cheat on your wife or your husband. You wouldn't do anything that would break God's heart if you walk with Him. Right? So the only way your baptism, if you've been baptized and really didn't mean it to follow Christ in the first place, the only way your baptism will actually work is if you actually follow the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. If you really truly have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you're in trouble because some religions out there that may say, well, you've been baptized, you're okay. Doesn't matter what you do now, you can go ahead and sin. Doesn't say that in the scripture, does it? Christ over here tells you and I to be perfect. So if you love Jesus and respect Jesus, why aren't you living the life that He's telling you to live? Why do you continue doing the same thing that separated you from Him in the first place? What you need to do is really come to Christ because you don't want to do this anymore. If you really want to come to Christ because you don't like it, where your life has become, you have to really commit to Him as you would to any relationship you have out there, a friendship, a marriage, anything. If you're willing to commit to that, why can you not commit what the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to do? Repent of your sins. Really repent of your sins. Follow Jesus Christ. That's when your baptism is real because the Holy Spirit will enter you like fire enters you. And that's when you feel it. And my friends, that's how you have to live. You cannot live for yourself. Let the Holy Spirit take charge of your heart. Let the Holy Spirit take charge of your mind. And let Him lead you where He leads you. Things will go okay. Be all right. He will lead you into the right direction where you want to go in your life. You'll have better friendships. Your marriage will be good. If you follow Jesus, think about it. Would you be getting into a divorce? Would your wife want to leave you? Or would your wife want to leave you? Or would your husband want to leave you? If you hadn't been drinking alcohol and been abusive to her, or for you women, abusive to your husband, if you drank liquor or taking drugs and abused them. If you've really followed Christ, if you followed in your heart the way He wants you to live, and the answer would be no. You would still be married. And right now, if you were divorced and your wife has divorced you or your husband has divorced you because of your own iniquity because you were abusive and cheating and all this verbal and physical abuse, and you wonder why they left you, Think about it. Would you stay around if somebody was beating you up all the time, criticizing you all the time, making your life hell on earth? You who are being selfish would probably say, I wouldn't take that. And you wouldn't. Probably not. You wouldn't. Well, what makes you think your wife wants to put up with it? And what makes you think your husband wants to put up with it? And you say, well, they're a Christian, they shouldn't have divorced me. Well, you guessed wrong. They did divorce you, did they not now? And you're saying, well, what happened? Think about it. If you really walked with the Lord Jesus Christ and had Christ in your heart, you wouldn't have been drinking alcohol. You wouldn't be taking those drugs. You wouldn't have been verbally or physically abusive to your wife or husband. You wouldn't do those things. You would show love to your spouse as Christ shows you love. And that's how your marriage would have worked out if you would have done it. But you chose the things of the world. You made an enemy of your spouse. Now, if your spouse is a Christian, they may still be praying for you, right? And they probably are praying for your salvation. But you're going to have to really get salvation if you really want it. If you don't want it, if you still want to walk around with the world, you're not going to go anywhere. And that is a fact. You're not going to go anywhere with your faith because you don't have any faith. Because if your faith is merely what religion tells you what it is, that all Caleb is baptized in this church, and this church says once I'm baptized, once saved, always saved, I'm saved. Well, if you don't have Christ in your heart, my friend, in the first place, he was just baptized and you just got wet that day. Because you were still the same person that you once were. You really have to give up a lot for Christ. You have to really have a show of change. Paul showed a change. He was no longer this legalistic, religious man no more. Trying to follow the law to the T and follow the Talmud law to the T. He followed Christ in his heart. The law of Christ was living in his heart. He allowed the Holy Spirit to live with him, to counsel him, to let him know better what to do, how to live in life, how to go out there and preach to those who do not know Christ Jesus, and write much of what we see in the New Testament today. A lot of that was the Holy Spirit telling Paul what to say. And that is the truth. Remember, Paul had a lot of enemies within the church before he found Jesus. He was an enemy of the church. He was an enemy of Christ Jesus. And you know, if Christ wanted to, he could have killed Paul on the spot when he was going into Damascus. But he did not. And I know it's not written in Scripture or anything about did anyone of the Christian faith ever pray for Paul? There could have been one person praying for Paul. It's not written, but it could have been someone praying for Paul. Not for his destruction, but that he too would find out the truth about Jesus Christ. And he did on the road to Damascus when he knew what he was doing was wrong. He had to give up his old religious order to be able to follow Christ Jesus. He let Christ, through his Holy Spirit, live within him. And by living within him, he was now a whole man. No more was he this legalistic man no more, but was after the faithful. Now he was part of the faithful. His heart was free. He was free from the bondage of the change of the religion that he followed. And now he was with Christ Jesus. He was now serving Jesus, who died for his sins as well, and brought to him a freedom he never knew he would have. And so, whoever prayed for Paul, that was the greatest revenge he ever did for Paul. And Paul was probably thankful for it. I would say Paul was grateful, was thankful for it. And probably was thankful for it. And in this day in heaven, is thankful for it, because if not for Christ ever meeting him on the road to Damascus, he never would have found salvation. He would have got a surprise when he died one day, thinking that he was going to go to heaven or in paradise and never make it because he followed a religious order that was not going to bring in salvation. So pray for your enemies out there, my Christian friends, followers of Jesus Christ. Pray for your enemies. Don't pray for their destruction. Pray that they too will find Christ Jesus within their heart. Your enemy may be in your own family. It could be anywhere. It could be in the workplace. It could be places who just hate you for your faith. But pray for them that they too will find the truth, that they too will find who Christ Jesus is, that they too will become believers in Jesus Christ. That is the greatest revenge you could have on that, because then they too are a changed person. They too come to Jesus. They as well are now a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ and now are following him like you are today. You are now free together as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. No more are you following the lost things of the world. You are now following Christ Jesus, who is now leading you and is directing you in the right direction. The only thing you have to have is faith. And you know how much faith you have to have? Just go back to the man who was dying upon the cross with Jesus. When he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you enter your kingdom." That's the faith you have. You don't have to do anything else. Give your heart up to Jesus Christ and believe by faith that he is your Lord and you're free. And no more will you want to do those things that made you miserable and made other people miserable. Now you want to glorify Jesus and tell everyone about Jesus, about the freedom he brought you. You're going to be just like the people Jesus healed when he walked upon the earth. When they were healed, they wanted to tell everyone about what Jesus had done for them. You too will be doing the same thing when you find the salvation in your heart. You want to tell everybody about what Jesus did done for you to free you from this bondage, because the Lord Jesus Christ came to save you and I from ourselves, from the sin that our selfish sin brought to this earth. The selfishness that hurt ourselves and hurt people who we knew and loved and hurt them as well, or perhaps even a stranger who we don't even know that we have hurt. No more can we do that, because now we are a changed creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, and now we walk Christ forever and ever. Amen. And amen. My friends, we're gonna stop here for tonight. So what we're gonna do now? We're gonna say a prayer before we officially close. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that we follow you about loving our enemies, and we pray that all our enemies who are out there, that they will find who you are. And there'll be an enemy no more, that we can live together as you and we live together. That our enemies will be part of the body, your body, Lord. That they're now a new person, and they're not that person no more. But now we're living together in harmony through you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Good night, my friends. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless your lives, and I say this in the name of Jesus.